Welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton, where we equip pastors to take their churches from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Join us weekly for encouragement and practical advice in your pastoring journey.
You guys are not going to believe where we are today.
Where are we today?
We are in the Holy of Holies. I mean, when I say Holy of Holies, this is the Holy of Holies. We're back in Inglewood, Calvary, Inglewood. I'm Dan Hurst. There is Mark Clifton, who is the host of Revitalize and Replant.
And don't you forget.
Mark Clifton. That's true.
That's right.
And Mark Halleck is over here.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, guys.
And we are sitting in Mark's office.
Yes.
And overlooking us is Touchdown Jesus.
That's right.
That's right.
Now, for those of you who have listened for a while, you've heard this story. If you haven't, go back and find it, because we've told it a couple of times.
A couple times, yes.
So there is a painting of what you would think would be similar to the Notre Dame Jesus, but not quite the same. Hey, welcome back to our podcast. Today we're talking about something that's so practical because it's and unique. Because every one of us go through this. Let me ask you a real quick question, Mark, before we give the title of what we're doing here.
Yeah.
About how many times, on an average, does a pastor change locations?
Well, I think I would say probably in his 40-year ministry, probably as many as 5 or 6 times, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some don't, but some a lot more. But it's certainly something that happens, you know, with some regularity. And, man, that's what we're going to talk about today. How do you help your family? Specifically, how do you help your family transition? You know, when I moved from Kansas to Montreal, I was so thrilled to get to Canada. Man, I wanted to get my feet on the ground. I wanted to be in Canada. I wanted to be in Montreal. You know, I wanted to be that, you know, I wanted to be Je suis, you know, my name is Jean-Marc Clifton. I don't know.
You leaned into it. You just went all bored. Like,
yeah, except I did get kicked out of French learning school, language school.
Tough start.
Yeah, it's a long story. Anyway, but I love being there, right?
Yeah.
And so I hit the ground running, man. I was hanging out at the coffee shops. I was meeting all kinds of neat Quebecois people, Quebecois students at the schools, you know, at the McGill and University, and planting a church. And I just loved it. But my family, right? I didn't deal with them very well in the transition. They weren't making the same transition I made. I mean, they were called to come too, but I was so immersed in the ministry that just I couldn't wait to get up every day and hit the ground running in a brand new environment and a brand new ministry. You know, I'm not hitting the same nail with the same hammer into the same piece of wood. I got a whole new nail, a whole new hammer, a whole new piece of wood. But I forgot about the pain and the struggle of my family in that transition.
And that happens quite frequently.
Right. So we're going to talk today about how to help your family when you transition from one ministry setting to another.
Let me ask you something. What are, as we get into this, what are some of the symptoms that your family isn't transitioning well?
Well, I think mainly mine was when your family tells you we're not transitioning well.
Starts there.
It pretty much starts with, hey, knucklehead, you're enjoying this, but we don't get it. I mean, we don't have any friends. We don't have any relationships. I miss everybody at home. I'm not near as happy about this as you seem to be.
Yeah.
My family, thankfully, just shared their feelings with me and got my attention. For sure. But I think some of it is just your children can withdraw a little bit. They can become less engaged in things. Your wife can obviously become really stressed over all this. I think it's just a tension that is in the family. And sometimes you think, well, it's just because we're in a new church setting. But really, you're in a new city setting, a new school setting, all of that kind of stuff.
So let's talk about some of these things that you can do. And let's just start with the very first one there.
Halleck, what would you say one of the first things you can do? These aren't in any order of importance, but these are some things you can do to help your family transition to a new ministry setting.
Yeah, I think one of the things, this is number one, is to recall important memories. In other words, you may want to make a scrapbook or an album with keepsakes representing your time in the church where you came, in the community you came from, but celebrate what God did in your life and as a family in that
now,
church.
Now, this is really hard if... For some of the guys who are listening to this, you're leaving a place you want to leave.
Right.
Can I be honest?
Yeah.
Some of you have had a bad experience in a church. You may have been forced out, or if not forced out, you realize the writing's on the wall, or this is a troubled place and I don't want to be here anymore. And you may be really quite pleased to get out of there, but you still need to help your family understand God was here. Things happened that were good. We had good experiences here. Let's remember the good things God did.
Yeah.
Let's remember the fun times we had in this town, the fun times you had in your school. Let's value that. You don't want your children specifically to think that this was all a waste of time and it was a bad experience.
Yeah.
So value that and help them, help them value the hours, the years, the months, whatever they had in that town.
Yeah, and just celebrate it. I mean, be thankful. Take time to actually do that. I think that's great. Here's number two.
Yep.
Try not to, and this is going to be hard. Try not to compare your last church and community with your new situation.
And that's if you think the new one's going to be a lot better or a lot worse. Yeah. But they're two different things.
Yeah.
And so help your family avoid comparing, you know, A against B, B against A. They're two different things entirely. Don't fall into that trap. That won't lead you really to any happiness. You'll feel like we've left something really, really great, or, you know, maybe what we're going to is really good, but what we left is really bad. And that goes back to what I said before. Your family needs to have good memories about every place you've been.
Yeah.
That's an important point, too, because you're leaving a place, even if it was a difficult place, there were some things.
Yes.
And your family may have enjoyed some of those things. And a whole new experience doesn't offer that, at least not at the beginning.
Right. And number three is don't undersell the struggle you're going to face in the new transition.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, so many times, guys, you want your wife and your kids to, you know, to come along with you, obviously, and you want them to enjoy it. So you kind of maybe paint a pretty rosy picture.
Yeah, yeah.
You need to let them know, hey, we're going to a new ministry setting. And number one, it's going to be spiritual warfare. Satan does not want us to move. He doesn't want us to go there. He doesn't want the church to grow. So we just got to be ready for spiritual warfare. Number two, even though we may be excited about moving to a new town, there may be some fun things, it's going to be hard.
Yeah.
Just prepare them. Don't undersell the transitional pain that's going to take
place. That's right. The worst thing, I mean, this is just true in leadership. Don't overpromise and underdeliver.
There you go.
It's like you've got to just be honest and be, you know, hopeful and excited. I would say the flip side to this, by the way, of don't undersell the stress of the transition. Be careful not to over idealize your past.
Oh, yeah.
I think this is where, you know, we can be selective in our memory. And sometimes you meet people, just people in general, who are still living in the glory days of 20 years ago, right? Yeah. We talk about this even in church revitalization.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think also helping your family recognize, because it can almost be an escape. That place was perfect. You know, we were so happy there. Well, there were great things, but we had problems there too. So, I mean, I think it's a flip side of just being real and honest and look at the situation.
You know, one of the things that I think about also often in my own life now, and it's been around for a few years.
Yes.
As I look back, there's not a church that I had some great ministries. There's not a church I really would want to go back to.
Well, you know, I know for a fact there's not a church that would want you to come back.
I hear
that all the time, Hurst. So I think it's a win-win all around.
Which brings us to the fourth point. You are going to go through a grief process.
Yes, your family's going to look the whole grieving process, and your kids may get very angry with you because they're leaving your school, their friends, their little league, their whatever sports they play. They may be angry about that, and if they're not angry, they may grieve over that. Your wife is going to grieve over that. You know, wives like to nest. You're lifting her out of the nest, right?
Yep.
And I mean, this is the house the kids grew up in, and all these memories and all these things. And man, you've got to understand there will be a grieving process and let them go through that process.
Yes.
And don't try to rush it. Just understand that is part of the process of moving.
I agree. That's so well said. I mean, guys, here's the truth. You need to be ready to listen well, to not overreact, listen well. I think some guys can get defensive and say, hey, listen, God's called us to this. You need to let this thing go. That's not going to help anybody. So listen to them share their hurt and their pain. Empathize with them.
Yeah.
I understand this is hard.
Every time
that.
I have moved to a new ministry setting, I have been so excited about the new opportunity that I didn't really feel the loss. All right. But you got to remember your wife and your children, they're going to have a loss of a house, their bedroom, you know, where they, the comfort of a home.
Yep.
They're going to have a loss of their school and that school identity, the loss of the neighborhood. all of those things. And you know, maybe you and I, we can just blow that off and hey, I'm ready to move to a new place. I can't wait to get started. Yep. That's the way I am. But I had to really be aware that my family was going through some real serious grieving over the loss of those things. And that's just normal and natural.
It is. It's normal.
Which brings us to a very important point, and that is, and I love what you said here, Mark, when you wrote these points down here. There's really a change of identity, isn't there?
Oh, there is. Oh, there really is. Prepare for a loss of identity. When I grew up in Chillicothe, Missouri, a town of 10,000 people, a county seat town, and my dad was the pastor of the church there, and everybody knew my dad. My kindergarten teacher was our pianist at our church, and you know, every teacher I had knew my dad. Most of them went to our church. So everybody knew I was Harry Clifton's son. I was the pastor's kid, no matter where I went, right? Mm-hmm. I could walk up to the little Savage grocery store and, you know, I didn't have to give them any money. They just put it on my dad's account, you know, if I wanted to get something. And they just knew who I was. Then we moved to Kansas City, Missouri. Ain't nobody know who my dad
right,
is.
Yeah,
nobody
yeah.
cares who my dad yep. is. So what? He's the pastor of Emmanuel Baptist Church. Where is that? They didn't even know where the church was, right? And so this loss of identity that I'm nobody here was really hard for me. And so I think, you know, it varies in different ways, but your family has an identity where they are. Your wife has an identity as the pastor's wife in that church. And that identity has been developed over a period of time that she's been there. Then she goes to a new church and that identity hasn't been developed yet.
Yes.
They don't know who she is. And your kids, they don't have that identity in school. And so, but you do. As soon as you go in there, you're the pastor.
You're the new pastor.
You've got that identity. Yep. But you've got to remember, your children and your wife, they've lost that identity. And it can be a very frightening and unexpected feeling when you walk into a place, you go, I don't have the identity. I don't have the relationships that gave me my identity that I had in the previous place.
One of the things that you need to do when you think about this very thing that we're talking about, switch the word identity for the word value.
Okay, that's
good. And it changes exactly the way. Your children all of a sudden have no value. Or they do at home,
right.
But they don't in the community.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, your wife has value at home, but not in the community.
Right.
So there has to be a process where they identify a new value of who they are.
Yeah, that's really good, Dan.
It was hard as moving from an urban to from a rural to an urban setting. I know, and for my sister who was in high school, it crushed her.
Mm. Yeah.
I'll be frank about it.
I was going to say.
It crushed her. From being in a small town high school where everybody knew her, everybody, to moving to a city high school where nobody knew her, it crushed her. It hurt me. I mean, I struggled with it. And
how old were you again?
I was 12.
Yeah.
But it really crushed her. She was 16.
Yeah.
And it could be just the opposite. You move from a big city high school to a little rural high school.
Yeah.
Or from one part of the country to another. I just think you have to really be very patient and understanding of what's going to happen to your children when they have to find their new identity. Their identity was tied up in that previous location.
Yeah.
And same thing with your spouse, you know, your wife.
They can feel disoriented.
It's disorienting. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of like this podcast. It's a little disorienting right now. So anyway.
Well, that would lead to something that you have to do, and that is settle in as quickly as possible to do everything that you can do to make the new place seem like home.
Right. Now, when we moved to Canada, one thing I did do well is we realized we're not going to live out of boxes for a few months, right? Let's make this place home as quickly as possible.
Yeah, that's good. I like that.
Let's unpack everything, the familiar things, the kids' familiar toys, our familiar dishes, even the familiar pictures we had on the wall, the family pictures. Again, I can be so involved in ministry, I can just leave all that up to my family. But no, let me take a lead in that so that as quickly as possible, this becomes home. Mm-hmm. That helps your wife as well in the nesting and all that kind of stuff.
It would also include the things that you do, the things that were important to you, you know, hobbies or you know, that sort of thing.
Right.
My wife, for example, she loves to entertain. And I would think that, and I didn't do this when I went to some other churches. I didn't encourage her. Let's invite somebody
over.
I should have done that.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
I didn't. And that was important to her, and I failed in that.
So as quickly as possible, make it feel like home.
So along with that, then is the matter of time.
Yes.
You know, how do you define
that?
Well,
that's the problem. You walk to a new church setting, you don't know any, as a pastor, you got to get to know everybody. I got to get to know my staff, if it's volunteer or paid. I got to get to know the deacons, if I have elders. My goodness, I got to spend a lot of time with them. I need to be with my Sunday school leadership. I need to learn the membership. I got to learn the community. I've got so much I got to learn. But you've got to spend ample time with your family because of everything we just talked about, all the grief, all the loss, all the transition, the last thing they need is for you to not be available to
them. Yes, amen.
So you have to spend ample time with your family, even though you're not there on a mission trip, all right? You're not going home in a month. This is your new ministry setting. Lord allows you're going to be there for a decade, right? You got plenty of time to do all of that. Right now, you've got to make sure your family is settled in well because they're the foundation. They're the base. I mean, you can have everything else go really well, but if your family's not happy, this is not going to go well.
Yep.
And so you've got to make a priority. And before you even make the transition, you need to let the pastor search team, the other leaders know, look, in the first 6 months or so, I'm going to have to spend a tremendous amount of time helping my family in this transition. Yep. Let them know that. You know, one of the cool things, and every now and then this podcast, we swerve into something that maybe is actually helpful. And one of the cool things, when I left Warnell and the new pastor came, his name was Mark Carrington. Mark said to the church, this was so cool. For the first, I don't remember if it was we're going to close the window because they're mowing the lawn outside of Mark's.
I think we're okay.
Mark's office. Yeah. Well, I just want you to know we're not in a podcast studio. We're in a basement office, and there's a guy mowing the lawn outside.
We're in Mark's office. Right.
This is not
high-end stuff.
This
here.
Is not newchurches.com with Ed Stetzer. This is Revitalize and Replant in Mark Halleck's basement with his son mowing a yard outside. So it's a little different.
Things have not gone well with the budget, and so we're just taking any place we can at this point.
Can you tell me what I was talking about?
Well, you were talking about that whole idea of finding time and telling your staff and your pulpit search committee.
Yes. So Mark, here's what Mark did. This is important. Listen, I thought this was the greatest thing in the world. He told the church, when I come, I'm not going to preach or do really anything other than meet with staff. I'm not going to preach for the first 6 weeks. I want to worship with the church as a church member. I want to get a feel for the church. I want my family to learn what it means to worship with this church.
Wow.
And so for the first, I believe, 6 weeks, he didn't preach.
That's amazing.
So he spent time learning the congregation, learning the staff, learning everything about the church, learning the community, and worshiping every week with his family in that church. I think that's one of the most
helpful
things I've ever heard.
I've never heard that.
How did the people respond to that?
Well, they knew that was part of the deal.
That was part of the deal.
It was, when they started interviewing him, he said, look, this is what I, and actually they thought it was a really great idea.
It is a great idea.
Because how else are you going to learn the church when you show up the first Sunday and you're, which is what I've always done. Yeah. I preach the first Sunday I'm there. Maybe the second if it's a moving Sunday. But I mean, as soon as I can. But Mark and his family, I think it was 6 weeks, they just worshiped with the church. Wow. And then he spent the rest of his time learning the church, learning the people and all of that. And then it also builds up a sense of expectation, right?
Yep.
So his first Sunday, people already know him. They know his family. Mm-hmm. There's a relationship with him. You know, if you show up the first Sunday and you preach, like, who is this guy?
Yeah.
So I think it's just a smart idea.
That's good. I think that's good. Here, let me say one more thing before we move on to the next point. I think it's one thing, guys, to say, man, I need to spend ample time with my family, no doubt. Here's what I would say. Get practical. Make a goal for yourself to have a date night once a week.
Yeah, sure.
With your wife. Yeah. Non-negotiable.
Yeah, with nobody else, just your
nobody
wife.
Nobody else, just your wife. That's good. That's clarifying. I would also say this, though. Have a date with every one of your kids each week. And that might just be you're throwing the football with your son. But, man, if you're not intentional, here's my point. You may say, man, I need to spend time with my family, but it doesn't happen. So you got to schedule that, a date night with your wife and each of your kids every week. And I think the first 6 months to a year is just critical with that.
You know, something else along that same line, I just thought of this. Tell your people that, too. Talk about it.
Yeah.
You know, tell your people what you're doing with your family.
Model
it. Yeah, you're modeling it, and you're also connecting with the community.
Right. That's right.
So. Okay, this next one we're going to hold till the last. So we'll skip down to the one there. One of the things you can do to help your family adjust to the new place is you talked about spending time with your family. Take some day trips. Let them explore and discover some really cool things about this new home they're in. No matter where you are, there's some fun things to do in your new community.
Clifton,
because
where were you before you went to Canada?
I was in Kansas City, then I was in Atlanta before that, okay. And I was in Wamego, Kansas before that.
I'm just thinking for your kids. Yeah. I mean, that's a big shift.
Sure. But
there had to be some cool stuff in Canada.
Yeah, that's what we did. We took a day every week or more, and we would go someplace really cool in Canada, and they really began to like that and enjoy that. Back then, the Expos, it was their last year, I plank plane.
Who?
The Montreal Expos. Who's that? The Expos.
Who's that? Oh, the Expos.
So we could get on it. We could get on the train.
I've heard of them or something.
We could get on the train and take it, right? It would get off right there at the Olympic Stadium where the Expos played, and literally the only way you could not be on the Jumbotron was to hide behind your chair. And not only did they list the attendance, they listed everybody's name who was there at the game.
Yeah, because so there were so many.
There was nobody there. There was nobody there. And so you could, for $5, I think at that time,
you
could sit wherever. And we got to see Boston play. We got all the great teams play.
That's fun.
So it was fun.
Yeah.
But find some things to do in your community. Take some day trips with your family. Let them explore and discover, hey, there's some cool things about this place.
And you chronicle it also.
Yes.
Yeah, you're talking about that. A scrapbook,
as you maybe put together a scrapbook of some kind. Maybe it's actual paper scrapbook. Maybe it's something you do online or whatever, on digital. But you make one before you leave of all the good memories and good places in the place you were at. And then you tell your kids, hey, we're going to make one of the new places we're at. And so begin to
do that
as well.
I like that.
And then you talk about group activities. So you bring that in. You mentioned.
Yeah, I think it's important. You know, years ago when I took my kids to college, I remember one of the deans said, it's important that somebody at this school who's not part of the school, somebody in the community knows your kid by name. And it wasn't a Christian school, it was a state school. He said, that may be a church. Be great. And that was pretty impressive. He said it'd be great for your kid to be a part of a local church, so somebody in that church knows your kid's name. He said maybe it's a club that your kid enjoys, but there's some place your kid needs, and somebody needs to know who they need to find ways to connect to this community where people know who they are. And so I think group activities as quickly as possible. Again, one of the things that happened in Canada when my wife said, "Hey, Mark, I'm feeling pretty much alone here. You know, I don't speak the language and I don't really have my friends that you know. But so the Lord took care of that. One day somebody stopped her literally at the grocery store and said, I noticed your license plate was from Kansas. And she said, yes. And she said, well, I'm part of the American Women's Club here in Montreal. And apparently you're from Kansas. You know, we'd like. And so she started going to the American Women's Club in Montreal.
Wow.
And so she had a group. Right? Mm-hmm. A group of people who knew who she was, knew her name, and that began a process of her fitting in a really way. Now, the church knew who she was. I know that. But this was something different. And so there was something in the community that she knew and understood. And so for your kids, to get them involved in sports or music or any other activities so that they become part of the fabric of the community, maybe even beyond the local church, if that makes sense at all. I think that's really
that's
important.
Great.
Let's wrap this up with the pivotal point.
Well, the last one I would say would be family worship is more important in this transition time than any other time. It's always important.
Yeah.
But it would be easy to overlook it because you're unpacking when you move, your regular schedule is disrupted. So whatever your regular family worship schedule. So Mark, talk about the importance of that real quick.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's again, caring for your family's soul in the midst of all of this and the steadiness of that. I think, again, remember your primary responsibility as a spiritual leader is to lead your family first. Mm-hmm. The church, yes, but your family first. And I think in family worship, again, we talk a lot about this, the rhythm of family worship. I think it serves as an anchor for your family in connecting with the Lord, with one another, the truths of his word. I think if you let that go, what are your kids being anchored to? And you need to make sure they're being anchored to Jesus in the midst of this, and you're leading them in that way. And I think family worship and the steady, the value of that and the priority of that is going to be incredibly helpful for your family as they're making this transition.
Let's close, and I hope that you'll go back and think about everything that we've said. Maybe listen to this with your family.
Or if you're a pastor, or you're a church, rather, and you're calling a pastor in the moves, listen to this and let your church, some of your leadership know, and share some of this stuff even with the pastor that you're calling so he can help transition his family.
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant. This podcast is brought to you by the North American Mission Board, where we help dying or struggling churches regain health for the glory of God and the good of their communities. If you found this conversation helpful, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. To learn more about becoming a replanting pastor or to explore resources about revitalization for your own church, visit churchreplanters.com.